Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Now, in the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel, we have the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And it's a quite revealing story, for it gives us insight into the next world. There we see the miseries awaiting those who are lost, and we see the mercies awaiting those who are saved. And we see some of the lessons found in this story that are so practical and so beneficial for man today. One of the first lessons, a fine appearance before men doesn't mean a final approval before the master. The story begins, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, what a contrast in the appearance of these two men. One was rich, the other was a beggar. One was clothed in purple and fine linen, the other was in rags. One fared sumptuously every day, and the other was simply longing for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. One would be welcomed into any society, but the other would be considered an outcast. One enjoyed good health, the other was full of sores. And those who are better off are not necessarily better. Things might be well on the surface, but not well at all with the Savior. We noticed this verse yesterday, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And in Luke 16, verse 15, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Well, Jesus once said to the scribes and the Pharisees, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Matthew 23, verse 27. And unfortunately, we're prone to put too much stress on the outward appearance, but a fine appearance before man doesn't mean at all a final approval before the master. And this is one of the lessons that we can learn from the account of the rich man and Lazarus. But let's notice another lesson. That is the foolishness of trusting in riches. This man was condemned not because he was rich, nor was the beggar saved just because he was a poor beggar. The rich man was lost because he trusted in his riches. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11, verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Well, the rich man trusted in his riches and he fell. And Paul writes to Timothy and so informs us in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The rich man seemed to have quite a love for money, so he erred from the faith, and he was pierced with many sorrows. This man was so high-minded that he had no concern for the poor beggar that lay at his gate. Instead of trusting in the living God, he trusted in the uncertainty of riches. And Paul admonished Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through verse 19. The rich man then was condemned not just because he was rich, but because he had made riches his God. He was rich in money, but not in good works. He was selfish, thinking only of himself. He laid up treasures on earth, but he failed to lay up treasures in heaven. And how foolish it is to trust in riches. Again, our Lord's statement in Mark 8, 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This man gained much of the world, but he lost his soul. He learned a lesson in death that he needed so much to have learned in life. Well, a third lesson from the rich man and Lazarus is the terror of neglect and the awfulness of being lost. And what a tragedy of being lost eternally. The record says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, in the earlier life, this rich man had known only just how awful it is to be lost. No doubt, if he had learned that, the outcome would have been far different. And while his body had been faring sumptuously, his soul was being starved to death day by day. And there's no greater tragedy than the tragedy of being lost eternally. Not only had the rich man neglected the beggar, and not only had he neglected his own soul, but he had neglected the spiritual needs of his family. We know this is true from the conversation he later had with Abraham concerning warning that he wanted to be given to his brethren who were back home. And as we think of this story, may we see the terror of neglect and the awfulness of being lost. A fourth lesson we can learn is that death at last comes to all. Hebrews 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And in the account of Luke 16, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Death is certainly no respecter of persons. The rich and the poor alike must someday die. The grim reaper will eventually gather into the next world the richest of the earth and the poorest of the poor. And it does not matter how much money you have, your money cannot buy off death. Money can buy insurance to help a man's family after death, but no amount of money can insure one against death. Money can buy medical treatment and medicines and medical facilities, but money cannot buy the prevention of death. Death will eventually come, and we need to recognize that and be prepared for it when it does come. And that's one of the lessons we can learn from the rich man and Lazarus, that death comes to all. And then another lesson, the kind of funeral one has doesn't determine the kind of future one will have. An expensive funeral doesn't guarantee a wonderful future. The Bible doesn't say how much money was spent on this rich man's funeral, but being a rich man, we can imagine that it was quite a bit. But being a rich man didn't change his destiny as far as giving him the hope of everlasting life. Nor would he know just how little money was spent on the beggar's funeral. But no doubt it was only a little. These words probably describe such a man's funeral. They rattle his bones over the stones. He is only a pauper whom nobody owns. And there would surely be more real mourners at funerals if we could only see beyond the veil. Another lesson we learn is about the consciousness after death. We can learn from this story that a man is conscious after death. After death, the rich man could see, he could recognize, he could speak, he could cry, he could reason, he could feel, he could remember, and he could desire. He saw and he recognized Abraham. He saw and he recognized Lazarus. He could feel the pain of torment. He remembered how fresh and cool water had been. He cried for mercy. He remembered how many brethren were in his family. And who could read this story as told by our Lord and not believe that man is conscious after death? Well, what great lessons can we learn from the story of the rich man and Lazarus? We can learn that a fine appearance before men doesn't mean approval before the master. We learn how foolish it is to trust in riches. We see the terror of neglect and the awfulness of being lost. We learn that death comes to all, the rich and the poor alike. And we learn that the kind of funeral a man has doesn't determine the kind of future he will have. We learn that a man is conscious after death. And let's consider some further things and false ideas that are refuted in this story, the rich man and Lazarus. Number one, the idea of universal salvation is refuted here. The fact that one man was saved and the other was lost indicates that there is no universal salvation. Not only is such refuted here, but in other passages as well. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Another idea refuted in this story of the rich man and Lazarus is the idea of materialism, something that death ends all. But the fact that the rich man and Lazarus did not cease to exist after death refutes such an idea. And Job's question lives on. If a man die, shall he live again? Job 14:14. And that's answered by our Lord in John 5, verse 28 and 29, where it said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so the idea of materialism is refuted in this story of the rich man and Lazarus. Another idea is the idea of spiritualism. The fact that the rich man wanted to deliver a message to the living and couldn't refutes the idea of spiritualism. The man had asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house to warn his brethren, but the request was denied. Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." But the man said, "Oh, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And the Lord has these words in Abraham's mouth, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." So the idea of spiritualism is refuted in this story. And then last, the idea of a second chance is refuted. The rich man pleaded for mercy, but was denied. He had had his chance, but he had thrown it away. Once death comes, there will be no second chance. It's either now or never. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And since there will be no second chance, then it's important that we make adequate preparation now. James says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." My friends, have you made your preparation